back. It's 10:25 on the Fan Saturday night. Ed Coleman here with you. We go to 1 o'clock. JJ will commit at that time. Doing some baseball, a little football as well. Giants have a big game tomorrow night, but the Jets have one a little bit earlier, 1 o'clock. They will kick off, and joining us right now, Daryl Slater of New Jersey Advanced Media, who covers the Jets, the 1-0 Jets, going up against the 1-0 Miami Dolphins. And Daryl, Ed Coleman here in New York, how are you?
Great, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming aboard here. Can they take the chains off Jet fans now? Because I know they've been chained up most of the week after a 48-17 win. The unbridled enthusiasm will be out there, I think, in full force tomorrow.
Yeah. I think ticket prices have gone up in the secondary market for sure, and they were, I'm sure, getting a little bit closer to a sellout than they were. So a lot of excited fans off that big win, for sure.
No question. Give me your thoughts on Darnold, the quarterback. I think everybody obviously was very impressed, and that's from ownership on down, all the fans, whatever. But give me your thoughts after week one.
You know, I thought he played, obviously, after the pick six, played really, really well. He did what you saw him do a lot in the preseason, which was move the pocket well, not necessarily be super mobile, but be agile in the pocket, be able to keep his eyes downfield when the pressure is there, be able to step aside and make the right throw. And he did that a few times, and that's a big strength of his. And rebounding from adversity, the coaches talked a lot about that being a big strength of his as well, and he did that. Obviously, after the pick six, was a huge mistake, and you know, the kid is calm and composed. It's just one game, so we'll see. But a good start for sure.
You like his makeup. There's no question when you watch him and his presence, I guess. Not only the presence in the pocket, but I think just his presence on the field as well, too.
Yeah, he's done a nice job of kind of taking leadership and command of this team in terms of doing that from a young age. He just turned 21 this summer. I mean, he was a really young kid when the Jets drafted him. Wasn't even 21 years old. The one thing in terms of taking command that he has to adjust to is doing a lot of pre-snap reads and changing plays at the line. He didn't have to do that a lot at USC, so we'll see how he does with that going forward.
He has a gun for an arm. I think we know that. He also has nice touch as well, too, the pass that he threaded to Robbie Anderson. You know, I don't know if you see that from a lot of young quarterbacks, but I think you'll probably see that from him in the future quite a bit.
Yeah, and a lot of what they're going to do in this West Coast offense with Jeremy Bates, the new Jets offensive coordinator, is a lot of those short, quick timing throws, and that's why you saw Sam Darnold lean so much on Quincy Anunua in the opener. That is Anunua's strength, those short catches into long games type stuff. And, you know, Darnold has a good arm, not a cannon necessarily, but he's a very accurate thrower, and you'll see Bates lean a lot on that accuracy in terms of making those over-the-middle short mid-range type throws, I think, as the season goes on.
Yeah, you mentioned Anunua, Daryl, and I think that was probably the throw that I was most impressed with on the first touchdown, that third down throw where he had to dance out of the pocket. He kind of threw across his body because Anunua was going the other way, but he threaded it right in there. It was a great throw.
It was, yeah, and that was the one that got reviewed, and you could kind of go either way on whether it was a catch or not, but no doubt the throw was very, very good. Yeah, that was an example of what I was talking about earlier, moving the pocket. That might have been his best play of the game. The deep ball was a very sexy throw, but I think that was the best play that he made in that game, was moving the pocket and making that throw.
Yep, I would agree. I can't close my eyes because I can't see him, but when I watch number 20 run the football, I immediately think of Chris Ivory because he's a back that seeks contact.
Yeah, Isaiah Crowell. Yeah, you know, he has certainly been a spark for the Jets early on here, and a 62-yard touchdown in the opener. It'll be interesting to see what the Jets do going forward at running back. I mean, Bilal Powell's about to be 30 years old, and he's in the last year of his contract, and they brought in Crowell on what is sort of a one-year contract, this type thing. They could lose him after the season in terms of ditching him and eat a little bit of a cap hit, but he's a guy who did some good things in Cleveland. He carried 200 times a year. They're not going to ask him to do that, so they're going to keep him fresher than he was in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And I think he's happy to be in an offense that's similar to what he played in as a rookie with Kyle Shanahan, that West Coast style offense. He said he really likes that.
And it's a good combination. Listen, it's not, you know, there are other backs around the league, obviously, Barkley here in New York and Gurley and others, but it's a good combination. I think they have the two of them.
Yeah, for sure. I think they complement each other well. The Jets really wanted to have that equitable kind of carry split, that complementary running back last year with Bilal Powell and Matt Forte. But, you know, Forte was at the tail end of his career. Obviously, had a great career, but his knee just did not cooperate. So maybe that they finally hit on that this year. And we'll see. You know, Powell's obviously playing for his next deal, whatever that may be. So you have a motivated guy in Powell, and then certainly Crowell as well, because like I said, there's some flexibility there from the Jets' point of view with what they can do with him.
After they blew Detroit out with that third quarter, the defense kind of teed off and did their thing or whatever. But this seems to be a very aggressive defense, very attack style defense. Give me your thoughts on where they are right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue here is the pass rush and the consistency of that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like you said, they were able to tee off on the Lions when they had that lead in the third quarter, and they were able to get that lead. So let's see what they're able to do in a more close competitive game in terms of establishing some kind of pass rush. They had no sacks on Matt Stafford. That was a little deceiving because they did affect him quite a bit. But I'm still not sold necessarily on their pass rush. Their secondary looked very, very good. I think it could be very, very good. I mean, Tremaine Johnson didn't have a great game, the new number one cornerback. Jamal Adams could be a big step forward for him this year in terms of being more disruptive. Mm-hmm. So I think the secondary could be the strength of that defense. The pass rush still somewhat of a question mark.
Tremaine Johnson obviously helps back there to have a veteran like that and a good one too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he is what the Jets have wanted. I mean, they paid a ton of money for Revis, you remember, in 2015 to bring him back, hoping he would be what he once was, and he wasn't. He was for 1 year, and then in 2016, he just fell off the map. And they paid more for Tremaine Johnson, obviously, with inflation and all that.
Right.
And they brought in a guy who they feel like could be that lockdown corner. That lets them move Morris Claiborne to a more comfortable spot, number two corner, and Buster Skrine to the slot corner spot, which is more comfortable for him as well. So I think they feel like they have the guys in the right spots on the back end there. And they can maybe be able to ask those guys to man up a little bit more and to overload on some of their blitzes in terms of being able to hopefully establish some pass rush. And that's maybe what Todd Bowles is looking for in that regard.
Darryl Slater of New Jersey Advanced Media, our guest here on The Fan. We're talking about the Jets. They take on the Dolphins tomorrow. It's kind of hard for me to gauge. I want to get your thoughts on the Dolphins coming in. They're 1-0 as well, but it's kind of hard to gauge a team that took about 7 hours to win a game. It was broken up into, I guess, three different sections or whatever, but what do you make of this Miami team coming in?
Yeah, that's an unbelievably weird NFL game, like the Met game the other night.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen enough of those.
Right, yeah, exactly. I bet you have, yeah. No, but no refunds, I'm sure, for people who went to that game, or no rain checks. But, yeah, certainly a strange game. They were able to wreak havoc a little bit on Marcus Mariota. I think in terms of you look at this Dolphins defense and what they could do to Sam Darnold, Cameron Wake and Robert Quinn are two pretty ferocious pass rushers. I mean, Wake's got 92 career sacks, and Quinn's got 62. So that's 150 sacks between the two of those guys in their career. Ezekiel Ansah, obviously from the Lions, was a big threat, but he only played 30% of the snaps because he got hurt in that first game. So the Jets kind of caught a break there. I think this is going to be an enormous task for the Jets' offensive line, which is kind of suspect coming into this year in terms of pass protection. Mm-hmm. Can they block Wake and Quinn consistently and keep them away from Sam Darnold? And Darnold was able to just hand off for a lot of that second half in Detroit.
Yep.
Maybe he won't be able to do that. So I think that's a huge task for the Jets, Wake and Quinn.
Yeah, I think. Listen, there's a lot of enthusiasm for this game. There should be, because the Jets look great in week number one. But Miami can be dangerous coming in. I think you have to be a little bit cautious. I think it's kind of fascinating, Darryl, that you have this game, and you've got to win it first. But to have this game followed by a Thursday night game, too, against Cleveland, this could be an auspicious start for them if they can put this all together. But they've got a big test here over the next 5 days.
Yeah, no doubt. Devontae Parker coming back, the receiver for the Dolphins off a broken finger. So that'll be a bigger test in terms of the Jets defense handling Miami's offense. And then, yeah, they start the season with 3 games in 11 days. I mean, they go Monday, Sunday, Thursday, and that's tough to do. And two of those games on the road, they handled one already in Detroit, and now they've got to turn around and go to Cleveland and a better Cleveland team, but still, they're still the Browns on Thursday night. And I think, legitimately, these are all three winnable games. They've won one already, and the Jets certainly could be 3-0 going to Jacksonville on long rest for the Week 4 game there at the end of September, and that would be fascinating.
That would be something for sure, and I think it'll be kind of interesting to see how Darnold handles this too. I think it's tough for a veteran quarterback to go through this, and he's going to be thrown right into the fire off a great game one. I give you that, but at the same time, it's tough to have 3 games, 11 days, and get them get a W in each.
No doubt, in terms of the preparation and all that sort of stuff, because he's seeing stuff defensively that he just didn't see at the college level. I mean, Pac-12 defenses aren't playing the sort of thing that NFL defenses are, even if you're talking about the Browns. It's so much more complex. So it's a lot for him to handle at once. He did play well, for the most part, in the opener after the pick six, but yes, his defense and special teams gave him a ton of wiggle room in that game. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest thing is, how does he play without that wiggle room? You know, if he doesn't have that margin for error, how does he play when things are maybe a little more tense in the second half than they were in Detroit? I think that'll be interesting to see, because obviously the Jets aren't winning every game by 31 points.
No, it's going to be fun tomorrow. Give me your thoughts. You think they come away 2-0 after tomorrow?
I think it'll be a closer game. I think they could. I think they ultimately lose by, 3 to 7 points. I think they'll play Miami close, but I think they'll lose the game. And, you know, look, I think this is a Jets team that's still flawed, and mm-hmm. that 31-point margin was just as much due to the fact that Detroit played terribly as it was to the fact that the Jets played so well. And they did play well, enough to take nothing away from them. But, you know, this is a Jets team that's going to have to scrape and scrap for a lot of wins this year, and they're not going to come easy. So I think this is a game that I always thought was a toss-up, so I could see it going either way. But, I think maybe Miami 27, Jets 20.
I tend to agree with you there, but I think it's going to be a heck of a lot more fun than it has been for the past few years, that's for sure.
Darryl, it's intriguing for sure.
Darryl, thanks very much for your time tonight. I appreciate it. Enjoy it tomorrow, okay?
All right, Ace. Thanks.
You got it. Darryl Slater of New Jersey, Advanced Media. Jets, Dolphins tomorrow. I think it's a tough game for a minute. But listen, it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be close, and it could go either way. But I would side toward the Miami side at this point in time. That doesn't mean you still can't be 2-1, but hey, they could be 3-0. You never know. 10:36 on the Fan. We return after this.